come to the conclusion, what is the church? We've been going through, just taking a look at it. But let me start off with a quote. Guy on the right here, King George VI, the younger brother of Edward VIII, if you know your English history, who abdicated the throne because he wanted to marry an American divorcee. And so he abdicated from being king. He was obviously seen with some rough company, but he was sort of a Nazi sympathizer. But his younger brother was not ready. He had a stutter. He was not prepared, but he ended up being the king, and he's the father of Queen Elizabeth, the current monarch in England. But listen to this quote, which just symbolizes the man. The highest of distinctions is the service of others. And if you know anything of his story, some good movie, The King's Speech is a great movie that came out where he just to speak to his people in the dark days of World War II. Service others. Well, we have a Savior who didn't come to be master, if you will. He came to serve. And our role as Christians, serving one another. And that's an important part of being in the church. And so today we're going to talk about the official leadership as explained by the Bible and just some things that we could look at as the community fellowship of Christians. But first, like that, looking in the rear of it, where have we been? Get it? You get it? Get it? Do you get that? Okay. No, but where have we started off with what is the true church, which is the body of Christ. The church as God sees it. He ultimately knows hearts. And Christ is the head of the church. So we need to keep that in perspective. The true church, the body of Christ, the church universal, the Catholic church, small c, Catholic for universal. But then we looked at the local church where we gather, we're the local branch office. And this is the church as man sees it. We're here and I don't know your heart, you don't know my heart. So there could be unbelievers sitting in the local church. Hopefully not, because the idea is you should be a believer to be a member of a local church. And we meet, and the marks of that local church historically were the Word of God is faithfully proclaimed, so it needs to be God's Word-centered, and the sacraments observed. So we observe the Lord's Supper and baptism, and messages are going to come from Scripture. That's important for a local church. Then last time we looked at the purity and the unity of the local church, that we should be one body. And what is the purpose? Ultimately, the purpose of the church is the glory of God. And if we get that right, everything else should follow. And then some of the things we do, it should be exalting God, worship. It should be edifying, the study and learning from the manufacturer's handbook. And then evangelizing, the good news of Jesus Christ. And our missionaries do that. So those are what we should be about. But that the purity of the church, part of the challenge is, are we trying to do it more God's way as best we can? And that's part of the challenge, especially when it comes to leadership. So the purity and the unity of the church, how can we be more pure? And when it comes to, are we free from wrong doctrine and conduct? And are we conforming ourselves to God's revealed will for the church? Are we doing it God's way, or are we wanting to do it our way? Well, a more pure church. We're never going to get there here on this earth. We are a fallen people living in a fallen world, and so we're not going to do it perfectly, but we need to be striving for the purity. And of course, always remember, Jesus is the head of the church. Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution of the Community Fellowship of Christians, the purpose of this organization will be to conduct church services and do all things allied thereto in support of the cause of Jesus Christ. So Jesus needs to be central. So everything we do, we need to keep that in perspective, because churches, and I'm sure we've all been parts of church fights and splits, and just what a testimony to a world that, why would I want to go to a local church? Why would I want to go to church when all those people, they just seem to fight each other? Well, shame on us. That's why we need to keep Christ central. So, biblical New Testament church leadership described. That's what I read that passage rather lengthy. And so the meaning, what was going on in Paul's day? The church, this was in Ephesus where Timothy was the young pastor and Paul's writing him. Here's how church should be organized, a pastoral, pastor's handbook, pastoral epistle. The meaning then, and described the two terms used in the Bible are elders. We'll look at some of the other language for that, but elders and deacons. And so the overall leadership and oversight in a local church, especially spiritual in the local church, should be by a group called the elders. Now, what does that mean? Well, let me read. I'm going to read a couple passages just a little more extensively, but the role as described by God's word and Paul in the book of Acts, as he was on his way back to Jerusalem on one of his trips, the apostle Paul in Acts 20, beginning of verse 28, from Miletus, little island, he sent to Ephesus, a city where he had ministered for several years. He sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. A few verses later, there he tells them, elders of the church, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, the people, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That's that word where we get our word bishop. But so your elders, your overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, into the church, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So elders, overseers, shepherd, watch out spiritually, take care of the flock, the people, because there will be false teachers. You know, you get the graphic language, savage wolves that will come in and try to lead people astray. The Apostle Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, he writes, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I challenge you, I who am a fellow elder, so Peter, the apostle, but he considers himself an elder as well, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Here's the challenge. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, Jesus Christ, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So a little more verses, but notice those terms, the terminology, synonymous, emphasizing different things. So elder, that's where we get our word, if any of you have Presbyterian backgrounds, that's where we get our word Presbyterian. So elders stresses, elders, we understand that term around here, right? Elders stresses wisdom and age and maturity, especially from, think of the Old Testament Jewish tribal leaders. So elder, there comes a little bit of the hoary-headed leaders of the family, some maturity. The word shepherd is where we get our word pastor. That stresses the servant, the ministry aspect, taking care of God's sheep. And here's where those passages, but when pastors think that they're my sheep, no. Pastors are to be under shepherds, under the chief shepherd. Need to keep Jesus. And so a lot of times pastors have moral failures. Churches, you know, when I talk with pastors and, well, how about your church? I get uncomfortable. It's not my church. It's Jesus' church. And I have a holy privilege of serving as an under shepherd. That's where we get our word pastor. And then that the word that my translation is sometimes translated bishop. So you can sort of hear some of the some denominations, Roman Catholics, Episcopal, Methodist, different denominations have bishops. But that word means to oversee. You're stressing the function of the office, guarding against heresy, A lot of churches in our culture, a lot of denominations have basically left the faith because they have not guarded against heresy, or they've allowed cultural issues to get in the way of the centrality of what we ought to be about. God's word, the sacraments, praise, all the exalting, edifying, evangelizing. So those terms I like are multifaceted way to look at the one role that Paul was describing of what we call, at least here, a pastor or the elders of the church. And also you could hear like Presbyterian bishop, different forms of church government. I don't want to get bogged down in all that, but there are different denominations that reflect things differently, that emphasize bishops, for example, or archbishops, priests. So terminology here, we'll look at that. How do we describe those? But those different pictures of what it means to be the spiritual leader, overall leadership and oversight, there's the overseer, especially spiritual, should be called the elders. New Testament, that's the term. We're looking at the meaning back then. So some of the qualifications, not going to rehash that, but that's what I read. Calling, you must desire the position. So when it comes to church leadership, that'll be part of the application for us. You ought to desire the position. We don't railroad people into, well, you need to do this and that. That's not, God will call those he wants to serve. So some of the things, character, the idea of your reputation, marriage relationship, control of yourself. Here you want mature folks, hospitable, some of the words used, able to teach, important for a pastor to be able to hopefully accurately convey God's word. And if your pastor doesn't do that, boot the bum out. But things like temperances, the elders not given to wine. I like that term, not given to wine, which not addicted. You're not letting anything control you. Not a violent, or the King James, I like, not a pugnacious character where, some pastor just always looking for a fight. And that's not gentle, patient, not quarrelsome or a brawler. Not greedy for, the King James, filthy lucre. Sometimes pastors are in it all. It's all sort of physical and money. Not a lover of money. The family relationship, because the church is pictured on the family. And so a pastor, the family, need to be have a good family life, if you will, as a test bed of how it is to be almost the father figure, you might say, in a local church. Maturity, and then reputation with folks outside. So those are some of the qualifications that Paul was giving to Timothy. Not going to go into those in any more depth, but the picture of what it means to have the spiritual oversight in the local church. Well, the hands-on ministry then, especially physical, in the local church should be by a group called the deacons. That's what I read there in the second part of 1 Timothy 3. In Acts chapter 6, actually I will read this. In Acts chapter 6, the early days after the resurrection, the church, the New Testament church is beginning, and the apostles, so the church leadership, just here's where most people, and I would agree, the beginnings of the office of deacon. And just sort of listen to what they were called to do. Makes sense. The physical hands-on ministry. So Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, the church is growing, there arose a murmuring against the Hebrews, the Jewish ladies, by the Hellenists, the Greek ladies, Jews and Gentiles. That's a tough thing to bring together, but that's what the church did. But there's some murmuring because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Taking care of the widows, the Greek ladies were being neglected. Then the 12 apostles, but the elders, the spiritual leadership, summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables," is the way my translation says it, serve table. That's where we get our word deacon, serving table. So physical hands-on ministry. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And so it pleased the multitude, goes on, and they chose. And it's interesting that all the names are Greek names. So the Greek ladies were being neglected. These are Greek-named men that were called to be the physical deacons, we would call them now, to take care of the physical needs in the local church. And verse 6, when they had set before the apostles, when they had prayed, they laid hands on these seven men, and the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And so the idea of division of labor, you might say, notice we need to be about teaching and the word of God. We need some people to take care of the flock. We have physical needs in the local church. And some of us maybe have bad experiences from past churches of physically being taken care of. But also that is one of our roles. We are a family. We take care of one another. That is the role of what the New Testament calls deacons. And so that term deacon just means to a servant or a helper. Hands-on ministry that emphasizes taking care of physical needs or whatever the elders delegate to them to handle. Okay? What are the qualifications? Well, once again, won't read, go through all those. In fact, if you have the why and how book, these are all in depth in here. Where I just did it's just like a list of where these words come from and what they mean. So read that on your own time. There'll be a test. But it starts off there in 1 Timothy where likewise the deacon. So the elders should be this, the character and the spiritual, likewise deacons, and they should be reverent, not double-tongued, sincere. I mean, do you wish our world we had more lack of hypocrisy and sincerity? One of those funny things, but elders were not to be given to wine, not addicted to wine. Deacons are not to be addicted to much wine. So deacons, no. But greedy for money, all those things, holding the mystery of the faith. So doctrine, we want folks that understand the Christian faith to some degree. They must be proved or tested, blameless. Their wives, because think about deacons, hand-on, maybe helping folks out with financial issues, paying bills or something. If their spouses are a bunch of gossips, that's not good. So there's some qualifications for the wives, not literally devils, slanderers. And so the idea of, no, we are keeping the confidence that needs to be when we're helping folks out. That's just, we all like it when people keep our confidences. And that's what all of us should be. You can see these qualifications. We should all aspire to that, but the deacons in particular. Once again, family life with a good family. And then I like verse 13 where it says, the faithful service as a deacon carries the promise of that good reward. You know, Christian soldiers, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, we have the privilege of serving the Lord, whether or not you're a deacon or an elder, but all of us. And that's what a living lives for his glory. So that's a high standard, folks. All of us fall short of that, but the official meaning, New Testament, I believe, very clear, the elders, the deacons, do we desire as a church family to try to emulate that as much as possible? So the meaning, the significance, what is the principle? How are we accomplishing that in this? A lot of you are not members here. You do it however you want when you're out of here. But Community Fellowship of Christians, how are we going about it, trying to do it as best we can God's way? So what should that look like? What is the application for the Community Fellowship of Christians? Well, our board, we have a general board, we call it a board, should be elderly. You guys are elderly. But elders, the idea of the spiritual, our board makes the decisions. And so we have the terminology. I don't get too hung up on the terminology. I prefer biblical terminology, but we have a general board with board members. Those are fulfilling the function of being elders, the spiritual oversight. Now, our form of government, we have a congregational meeting, which if you're a member, you better be here next week or we'll vote you off the island. But we make decisions, we put things to the vote, which won't get into that, but recommendations coming from the board to the general congregation, hopefully we respect our board enough to give them the benefit of the doubt instead of, no, I'm going to cause trouble in the meeting and no, I don't want to vote for that. We do a great job here, and I'm sure some of us have been in church meetings in other churches where it is quite frankly unchristian how people fight over the silliest stuff, you know, usually money and things where Christ is the head of the church. Okay, so our board should be elder. The big picture, our constitution for the cause of Jesus Christ at the board, and Howard is the chairman of the board and does a great job. And so, you know, we need to be thinking and prayerfully, is this for Christ's glory or is this for our agenda? Folks, shame on us if it becomes more about us. And so decisions, recommendations to the congregation, are they for Christ's glory or are they for our own pet type things? Our committees, we call them committees, which that's a dangerous word. The military and their committee. You know, imagine militaries trying to be run by committees. We'd call it the army. No, but our committees should be deaconly. I don't know if I made that word up, but committee members, those of you serving officially on committees, those are fulfilling the role of the deacon. So we have trustees who handle the physical building and taking care and being good stewards of this. Finances, the money, it's all God's money. We have a very generous church. We have a lot of money for a little church. Are we using that money for God's glory? The deacons, we actually have a board of deacons that we call them that visit people, call people. You know, these are the hands-on physical taking care of the church family. And so family business, structure, finances, personal. Once again, is it for the cause of Jesus Christ? Or do we have agendas? Well, I'm very pleased that I think we do a pretty good job, but we can always do better. And so when it comes to serving, is it about getting what we want, or is it about serving God and being like the church, the local church would be the salt and light to our local community, you know, Park, Teller County, and around the globe. So board, elders, elderly committees, deaconly. And so this time of year, our nominating, and I put that in quotes, should reflect all of the above. So we have had nominating committees in the past. Well, I'm urging that based on what you've heard today, that we're not going to try to railroad, we're not going to form a committee on committees to get a committee to do the committee work of nominating and railroading people into, we've got to fill a quota, we need 10 deacons. Oh, we've only got 7. You're going to be deacons. I hope you heard the message that that's not what God wants. They should desire the desire to serve. Do you have a desire to serve? And those of you who are currently serving officially, you know, all the treasure, the music, all these things are serving. Are you doing it because you desire to? Why do you want to serve? Sometimes people walk into church the first day and they say, you know, I want to serve. I want to be in charge of the money. So why do you want to serve? Is it for God's glory or is it for your agenda? Where do you want to serve? You know, sometimes we have trustees and we're older, but not a lot of us want to pound hammers and pull weeds, but I want to control the money. See, and so all these areas, folks, are important. Why are you serving? Do you have a desire to serve? Why do you want to serve? Now, here's the challenge, because we're not going to have a committee. This serves as the nominating. Are you called to serve? Should you be serving? Why aren't you serving if God has sort of laid it on your heart? And that's the challenge. And some of you that have, you know, recently joined the church or something, I want to join the church. And I'll tell them, you can't. You need to be here for a while to make sure this is where God wants you. And then some of you, I won't call out any names, but I know who you are, that have been coming for years and years and never joined. Why not? You know, membership doesn't get you to heaven, but it, for business meetings, it gives you the vote. And the Holy Spirit speaks through all of us. Hopefully we are doing it for God's glory and not fighting over, well, I want to spend the money on my pet project. So the nominating process should reflect all of the above. So if you, so here's your call to, if you have the desire to serve and think God is calling you in whatever role, one of the committees, the trustees, finance, deacons, other areas, music, there are other things, other areas to serve, let one of the board members know. In fact, we have a number. Call 1-800-SERVE-CFC now. No, we don't. Dial 1-800. But folks, that's between God, the Holy Spirit, God, like Paul, here's the scripture, calling folks to serve. If you are being called, shame on you if you don't. If you're serving and you are angry about it, you're bitter, why doesn't anybody else do anything around here? We don't want you serving for that. Okay, this is what church family, the application for us, using our terminology and how we go about it, the congregation, if you're a member of the congregational business meeting, is service. We need to be here so that we are voting on some pretty important things, because sometimes, well, I didn't vote on that yet because you didn't go to the meeting. Well, I'm not going to give money to that. Shame on you. Shame on you if that's the way you are treating it. So does that make sense? Here's what God's word says. Here's what hopefully it looks like. We're never going to be perfect, but this is my challenge. And sort of that's the nominating committee. I've spoken to them for every year when we would have a committee, sort of giving them the omnium. We're not filling quotas. Be very careful of that. I will get steely-eyed that, oh, well, we've got slots to fill. Careful, because are we going to railroad folks? It'd be wonderful if we had 100 deacons. Well, no, we can only have 10. No, goodness, why? But it has to be for God's glory, qualifications as best we can to serve for properly. So, all right, recognize that picture? I didn't know this. See that guy right there back hiding? That's John Merwin. The day before D-Day. I didn't know you were there. General Eisenhower, quote, the supreme quality for leadership is unquestionably integrity. Without it, no real success is possible, no matter whether it is on a section gang, a football field, in an army, or in an office, or especially in a church. Biblical integrity, purity as best we can as we accomplish Jesus' business in this little local branch office, because ultimately it is for God's glory, the purity of the church, the revealed will of God. Are we going to try to do it God's way, or are we going to insist on doing it our way? Because we are the body of Christ. And then I'll conclude this whole series with Jesus, what's called Jesus' high priestly prayer, John chapter 17, the night before he went to the cross. And he's praying for the disciples and by extension, believers. And the glory which you gave me, Jesus says to the Father, the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, mature in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. We proclaim how we do church, God's glory, and the world looks on. And so once again, they have to answer for themselves for the gospel message. But our testimony, does the world look at us, this local church, at how we do government, how we do all the things, and is God glorified and honored? Well, I think we do a pretty good job. We can always do better. And let's strive for that, for the glory of God alone. So, well, thank you. That was a little more teaching or whatever, but a lot there. But it's important. For God's glory, the body of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the body of Christ. And I thank you for this local congregation that they put up with their pastor, that we put up, we get along together, the unity we have. We do a good job, Lord, for your glory. Help us to do better. Help us to strive to do it biblically, first and foremost, so that it might be done for your agenda, the cause of Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.